Greetings. Welcome to the third episode of the NASCAR on NBC podcast. I'm your host, Nate Ryan. I neglected to tell you that last week, and I think also in the first episode. But I'm the person who conducts these conversations weekly. And this week, we have our first NASCAR Sprint Cup driver on the podcast. And rather fittingly, it's Daytona 500 defending winner, Joey Logano, heading into Sunday's race. Talk to Joey on Wednesday, February 17th, in his motorhome. It's before cars hit the track on Wednesday. We did have the Sprint Unlimited qualifying, some practices, but not a lot to gauge his prospects, although we did talk about that a little bit. But as you listen, please keep in mind, we are unaware of any events that would transpire later Wednesday or during the Thursday qualifying races. We were talking mostly about how he's done to that point when we did talk about this upcoming race. Nonetheless, this was a good conversation. I've interviewed Joey Logano many times since he entered NASCAR's Premier Series in 2009. At that time, the youngest Daytona 500 starter in history. It's hard to believe he's only 25 years old. He's become an articulate driver. He's very comfortable with the media. I think he's very candid. And there is a distinct difference between who he was when he entered NASCAR as a teenager and who he is now. He's a different person. I mean, he's older, and naturally, these are some of the formative years of an adult's life. So, of course, he's going to become more comfortable in his own skin and more comfortable with the media. But I think Joey Logano is a great example of a person who has been able to grow up a little bit in the public eye and learn how to handle that spotlight without being overwhelmed by the pressure, the attention, the expectations. I think he's done all of that, handled it with grace and aplomb, and emerged not just as a championship contender and one of the best drivers in NASCAR, but also a decent interview, as I think you're going to hear on this podcast. We also spent a lot of time in addition to talking about how he handles himself, we also talked about how he handles the media. He was coming into this podcast, coming off a lot of media recently. Daytona 500 Media Day yesterday. He did a New York City media tour last week. So we talked about what he likes to do, which is virtually everything. He says he likes listening to our insipid questions that we peppered him with yesterday. He seemed to say he enjoys doing media, but there is one thing he doesn't like about doing media, so definitely listen for that. We talked a little bit about his involvement with the NASCAR Driver Council, which was formed last year. Joey's been a part of it since then. But this year they added his teammate, Brad Keselowski. Brad told a very funny story yesterday about he partially learned about this through a text message from Joey Logano. So we'll hear Joey's side of that for the first time in a very lighthearted recollection, also a very funny story. We also talked about how Joey Logano has learned how to let things go, particularly as they related to last season and the Martinsville incident that was one of the biggest stories of the 2015 season. We also catch up on where things stand and that. And then, of course, again, we talked about him being the defending winner of the Daytona 500. I think it's perhaps gone a little bit unnoticed that Joey Logano won two of the four restrictor plate races last year. He really has emerged as a restrictor plate ace at Daytona and Talladega. And while he has effusive praise for Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s ability at plate tracks, he says he's the best driver, as many also say. Joey Logano really also has become one of the best in the draft as well. So I think he's really going to be somebody to watch as he attempts to defend his Daytona 500 victory this Sunday. So I really hope you enjoy this. I've gotten a lot of feedback from the listeners so far. Everybody seemed to enjoy the first two episodes for the most part with Kyle Petty and Steve Letarte. Please keep the feedback coming. That's how we make the show better. You can tweet me at Nate Ryan. Always there as a listening post. Certainly interested in constructive criticism. Who you'd like to see on the show in the future. I'm not locked into a guest list, so definitely am looking for any sort of suggestions that anybody has on guest lineups. And we're going to have some involvement with more NBC staffers in the near future. Keep your eye on that. So we'll save all that good stuff for later. For now, though, let's get to the podcast. Without further ado, here's our conversation with defending Daytona 500 winner, Joey Logano. All right. So I suppose we could start with your your week? Because I know, like, you've been down here, obviously, since the weekend, but before that, you were in New York as defending
the Daytona 500. Yes, that week. Yeah, so we've had a great time. Went up to New York City, froze our butts off, and kind of did the media tour to help promote the 500 coming up here. So, you know, we went through a few different things. We did Fox and Friends. We did a few other places we swung by and stopped and did AOL, a couple things like that. And then flew home for tonight and then left with the team down to Daytona the next day. And then I was on the racetrack that day, so I was all excited. The whole time I was in New York, I was thinking about being on the racetrack because I was antsy as can be because I haven't driven a race car since Homestead, so it was a big deal to me just to get back out there.
Did being in New York, does that kind of experience, like, drive it home when you're doing, like, all these big ticket, like, non-traditional mainstream media? Does that sort of, like, say, hey, this year's different than I'm going to Daytona. I'm going in as a defending winner.
Yeah, I think, you know, it does, but I guess it doesn't really change much of my attitude and what I do to prepare for the race. You know, it's nice that, you know, we've proven to ourselves that we know how to win, and we know how to win at super speedways. That's important to me. You know, the fact that doing different media and you know, doing interviews outside of racing stuff, I guess, is it's good. It's great for our sport. I think it's a good thing, but it's definitely, you know, I guess it's not what I think about. You know what I mean? I just think about, I want to win again, you know?
Right.
So that's where my head's at with it.
Yeah, and probably where it should be. You guys, we ask you these silly questions about, hey, have you thought about, like, what this means? And the answer is always, no, actually, I'm just thinking about winning that week.
Right, yeah.
You're the one who thinks about it the other way, right?
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. You just think, you know, it's part of, the media stuff is a part that comes along with it.
Right.
But it's not for I'd say, most of the competitors in this motorhome lot aren't doing it for popularity.
Right.
They're doing it because they're racers and competitors and they want to win. And the stuff that comes along with it is cool, don't get me wrong. Like, I think it's really cool that we get to go to New York City and
right.
see a lot of things that I wouldn't be able to see otherwise. But it is, I guess, the main thing that I think about all the time is, how do I win the trophy? I want to be right. back in victory lane. That's the coolest part.
Right, right. I think I heard Scott Dixon, IndyCar driver, once say that you get paid to do the public relations. Like, that's where you get, you know, driving the car, that's the fun part, but you guys are actually getting paid to do the rest of this stuff.
I've heard people say that before. I enjoy it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I have fun. You know, I think I have a good team around me when we go do those things that we enjoy it. We joke around, have some good times, and it also helped me make sure I say the right things, but I think we do a good job and enjoy it. I think that's important to surround yourself with a good group of people that can help you, number one, but also you can enjoy it and have some fun with it, because we spend a lot of time doing stuff like that.
Right, right. What was the best part of New York, would you say?
Best part of New York? Our flight home.
See, there you go.
Flew up on wheels.
You say you like it.
And we had some sushi, and it was great. And that was pretty much the best part. But I mean, we had some good times. We went to the Players Tribune, which is a magazine up there, and got to meet some of the guys that put that together. I thought that was kind of interesting to hear how they do that. And their office was completely different than a lot of offices that I go to, because they had video games everywhere in there. And of course, as soon as I told them I like to play hockey, we had to start playing video games playing hockey. So we did that.
Right.
that was the hard work part. But yeah. No, I mean, I enjoy it at all. I mean, it's just, it's fun just building relationships and seeing what other people do.
Yeah.
You know, as we kind of live in our own little world, you know, in motorsports, you know, this is our small pond. But when you go outside of it and you see how everyone else works and what makes the world go around, I guess it's all interesting to me.
Yeah. Are you going to write something for Players Tribune in the future?
We talked about doing something like that. Yeah. Yeah. We talked about putting something together and some ideas on what would be a good story. And, you know, so they just wanted to kind of hear parts of my career or parts of the foundation and stuff like that. Kind of coming up with the best way, what would be presented, I guess, the best for their magazine.
I saw that they had that story with Truex Jr. and Sherry Pollock's come out this week, and it was really well done.
Good job.
Seems like they do a good job of it.
Yeah. It's a cool way they do it. You know, it's different.
Yeah.
So yesterday was Daytona 500 media day. And so you went through all that. I don't know if that rigmarole is worse or better than, like, going through New York.
It's not, you know, it's, I don't mind the media part because it keeps your mind going.
Yeah.
You know, you got people asking you questions. You got to think about your answers. You got to think about things.
Yeah.
The part that gets boring and kind of redundant is that you're taking the pictures, you know?
And yeah.
I guess that part gets kind of old. It's like, okay, I'm sick of taking pictures, you know?
Just, yeah.
But as far as questions and having conversations and stuff like that, that part's fun. You know, I think that's a fun part. You can be yourself and, you know, answer questions and try to help out things. It's always interesting to see what the stories are, too. Like, you know, certain questions that come up that you... you may not have seen coming or something like that. It's always interesting to see where the media is at with things.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. And I'm sure you could see where we were at yesterday. did it catch you off guard or surprise you that a lot of the questions were about contracts and the charter system?
Not really, because I think there's a lot of unknowns about it. Mm-hmm. So, of course, there's going to be a lot of questions about it when that comes up, right? I mean, it's the fact that, you know, and really, I mean, who really knows a lot about it is the owners. So a lot of the guys that were there yesterday probably aren't the best people to ask.
Right.
But it's, you know, we all know what we've been told by our owners. You know, so it's just all kind of, I guess we're all kind of in the dark together.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But it was interesting just to you know, see how everyone's answers were and just kind of line up everyone's stories and it all made sense.
What did surprise you? Any questions?
I had no big surprises.
We didn't do a good job?
Well, it's Jeremy's job. Jeremy's my PR guy who's leaving me. after 10 years, you know, he's just had enough of me, but or even longer than that, probably. He's just shaking his head behind me. You guys can't see this on a podcast, I know. But where was I going with this? Oh, it's his job to make sure that I don't get surprised.
Right.
So that's he did
Jeremy
his job.
Did a good
he
job.
He did his job yesterday.
Final Daytona 500 media day.
Yep.
He was
mm-hmm.
a success. Okay, good
it's
job.
About time he did a good job.
Yeah. you were in the morning. You were the first one to go, actually, in the mornings. But, and your teammate, Brad Kozlowski, was actually the last, I think, for the print reporters to have a shot at. So we didn't get to ask you this. Yesterday, he told this great story about how he found out he was on the driver council. Did you hear what he said about this?
No, I haven't heard. What'd he say?
First he said he found out through, he got a text from Dale Jr., who he described as, like, the guy who runs this entire thing and, like, mm-hmm. is in charge of communications, apparently. So he got a text from Dale Jr., but then the next text was from you. And essentially it was, holy crap, you got voted on this.
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised. We all were surprised. He was too. So I think it's good. I know I voted for him, but I was like, I don't know how much one vote does, but every vote counts.
That's right.
Right? So that was funny. No, yeah. That's just how it went down. I was wondering what he said, but that's, I texted him. I was like, oh my God, you're on the driver council. Cool. So
yeah.
I think that's good. You know, Brad definitely has a lot of unique ideas, which is good. You know, you got to have a well-rounded group and that sees things from different points of view and different angles. And, you know, we all know Brad has his unique angle.
Right.
And a lot of times you can take a lot of good from that and put it all together. You know, it helps our race team a lot, having just different type of people
right.
mixed in.
Right.
And then you can make your decisions off of that.
Yeah. I was talking to... actually, the first guest on the podcast a couple weeks ago was Kyle Petty, and he was talking about how he liked, like, there was, when he first started talking to NASCAR, there was this misconception he felt, especially when he started doing TV work, that NASCAR said, you know, why do you hate us? You know, why are you out there saying things, you know, that are negative? And he's like, it's not that I love this sport. It's not that I'm being negative. It's like that it's constructive criticism. It's that, like, when you have a chance to sit down and have actual dialogue, you can get to a better place. And we talked a little bit about the council, mm-hmm. and it sounds like that's kind of the idea, is you almost want to have disagreements.
You want to have back and forth.
Right?
You
yeah.
know, and you know, a lot of times, you know, maybe the drivers don't see the full story, and they don't
right.
understand why NASCAR is going down a certain direction. And sometimes, you know, a lot of times NASCAR doesn't see the driver's full point.
Yeah.
And we have to explain that to them as well. And when we're all unified and we're one voice and we can go to talk to whoever, you know, there's always strength in numbers, right? And and when we all can agree, we can make some things happen and improve our sport, and vice versa. You know, we learn a lot from NASCAR and say, okay, here's what they're doing, here's why we're doing certain things. A lot of times we look and say, why are we doing this? Does this make sense? Well, at first we might not think it makes sense, but then when we look back at it and NASCAR explains it to us, we see why we're doing it, you know? And I think that's, important for everyone to know is this communication. That's basically what this all comes down to is communication, right? And it's so simple, but it's tough when you have a lot of different parties involved that you're trying to all get on the same page.
Yeah, and it's tough to imagine, like, when we sit here in your motorhome and I'm looking around and it's like, you guys are all in the same vicinity, you know, dozens of hours every weekend, and yet it's hard still to have the time where everybody's schedules coordinate, where you can have those
discussions.
Because
everyone's doing their thing, right? I mean, everyone's doing their own thing. You know, right now we're doing an interview. Someone else could be doing something else, you know, so it's just hard to get everyone to tie together. And, you know, and a lot of times, sometimes you just want a break, you know, when you're in here. Sometimes people just go in the murder home, and they close the door, and they herm it up, and they're done, you know. It's just that's the end of the day, and others go out and walk around and communicate and talk, and it just depends, you know, a lot of times. So, a lot of times you're in a garage all day, you're working and talking about your race car, and you know, sometimes you just want to stop, you know, and other times there's a lot to talk about, so it just kind of depends.
Yeah. Who voted for Brad? Do you know? You know who else?
I know I did. I don't know who else, but I think it's great. No, I think it's really good to have him on there.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny how the sport works sometimes, you know, as you know, nothing against me or Brad, really, but I mean, a lot of times I wouldn't think that we were the two favorites in the garage, and but you know, also it shows that he's respected,
right?
You know, and I think that's one of the important parts when I see what happened there is the respect factor through your peers, and that's it's important, you know, to have that.
Just curious, is it the full field that votes, or is it just the council that votes on?
It's the
full field does. Okay, gotcha. So how ready are you now coming into Daytona versus 7 years ago when you came in as the youngest Daytona 500 starter in history?
There's no comparison.
Right.
I thought you were going to last year.
No.
Let's go back to
2009.
I feel way, way better. I mean, it's, I remember, and I was telling this to? I think I was telling my wife this story. Or maybe it was Jeremy. And Jeremy raised his hand. I guess it's Jeremy. That when I came down here for the first time, it's Thursday night before the Sprint Unlimited. At that time, it was a shootout, but the Sprint Unlimited practice.
Right.
And it was an old asphalt, and I've never driven a cup car on a super speedway before, so I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. So I'm like, okay. So I get out in this car, and first off, I go out of the garage the wrong way. And I was starting off on a great note. But then I went out there, and, you know, first three, four laps, I drove through the pack, and I got towards the front. I was like, oh, okay, I got this, everything's good. And about lap seven or eight, tires wore out. And that was, you know, old Daytona, the way it was. I mean, tires wore out, it was bumpy, and I was out of control. Could not drive this car. And, I remember I came in after about 10 or 12 laps, and I thought, I am never going to make it 500 miles. I said, there's no way that... One, my arms don't fall off, or two, I crash this thing in this amount of time. And it was unbelievable. And I guess that was kind of like the one, I mean, I had quite a few slaps in the face early in my career to get going, but that was one of them that was like, whoa, these guys are really, really good.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was interesting. And then, of course, yes, I crashed in the 500. I finished 43rd. So I've seen both ends of the Daytona 500 now. I've been last and I've been first now, so that's good.
Yeah.
But, even from last year to this year, I still feel a lot more confident this year than I did last year even, and with just super speedway racing and what we've learned last year and being able to win two of them and really knowing what to do in the draft. Because I felt like before that, this was a weak racetrack for us, that we didn't really understand what it took to win.
I mean, last year... I remember writing this after the race. I mean, you pretty much had to do it by yourself because Kez was out, and you're up there fending off Junior, Jimmy Johnson, Harvick. I mean, you were kind of a one-man band there in the last 10 laps, and every move you made was the right one. When a bad move can cost you.
I got lucky.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's there's a lot of really good speedway racers out there, and that's how I learned. Is I watched these guys. I watched the tapes. I try to, you know, see what their tendencies are and know what they're thinking before they do it. And, you know, it's tough, you know, to think through all of that information while you're on the racetrack before you make your decision on what to do. So it all has to happen in a split of a second. But, you know, I thought... you know, the way we got through the races last year went really well. You know, equally, I mean, it could have gone the other way with, like you said, one bad move.
Right.
You know, and that's it. But that's the way speedway racing is now, right?
I mean,
so if you can get out front,
yeah,
you have a good chance of blocking them off until they get a huge run. But it's hard to pass the leader these days, you know? So it's just how you get up there and make it in those right moves. And there's some guys, obviously, you know, Dale Jr. is the one that stands out the most, right? He's amazing at it. Yeah, to me, I still think he's the best at it. You know, but it's just a matter of, you know, learning what he does and trying to think about what he's doing to beat him.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, obviously it takes skill. It's not just luck. And you've mastered that part of it. And I think also what's different from 7 years ago, I remember, you won't remember it, but the first time I interviewed you was when I was still at USA Today, and it was at a Home Depot in Huntersville, North Carolina, when you were doing a commercial shoot.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, somebody... I remember you were, like, playing with, like, a dowel rod or something like that and just, like, idling the time between shoots.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to you, and it wasn't that you were nervous, but I remember thinking, like, this is a lot to put on a guy who's barely out of high school and is walking into this. And something you said the other day in the media I thought was really interesting in your media center session. You said, you can define me however you want to define me. I'm going to define myself the way I want to. And I would think that 7 years ago, just based on how old you are, that wasn't a piece of wisdom you could have at that point.
True. It's a good point, you know, and I think as I've gotten older and you kind of live through some situations, and it's not that I'm old, no point. I'm only 25, but I feel like I've been through a lot for a 25-year-old. And, you know, you start you know, hearing people form an opinion about you or against you, and, you know, good or bad. You know, and to me, the opinions that I care about the most, you know, obviously you want to be liked, right? No one wants to be the hated one out there. I don't want to be. I don't think I'm that type of guy, but
right.
It is what it is. But the ones that I care about is the people that I care about. You know what I mean? And I care about, you know, my family. I care about my race team and what they think about me. And I know my race team's got my back.
Right.
You know, those guys would take a bullet for me.
Right.
And I think that's... you know, obviously, very important to have that support group behind you that's got your back on the moves you make on the racetrack and the moves you make off the racetrack.
Yeah.
Which is important. You know, I think having your family behind you, having your friends that are there behind you, and I value their opinions because when I do something wrong, they tell me.
Right.
You know, I don't want just the smoke blowing up my butt. You know what I mean? I want someone to tell me when I'm doing something wrong because it's important to become better. But when people don't know me or I haven't met them, and they form an opinion against me, I guess let it kind of brush off. You know,
right.
It's not a big deal to me. You know, I want to have fans. I want to be, you know, one of the, you know, more popular guys out there, one of the more liked ones. I want people to know who I am, though.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be liked for the right reasons. I want people to know that, yes, I am very competitive.
Right.
I'm a competitive person. You have to be successful.
Right.
In my eyes. Maybe that's different for everyone, but it's what I think. But I also want them to know who I am.
Right.
You know, I'm not just a race car driver, right?
Right.
And you're not just what the product is on the racetrack. That doesn't make who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I guess the personal side is that you want some people to know it, to say, hey, this is, you know, Joey doesn't just drive race cars. He does this, this, and this, and this. And that's why I like him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he likes the way he drives a race car on top of that, you know? So I guess I want that to be shown a little bit more so people can form an opinion on something that I think is... more realistic, than what it is now. I think
you had some success with that last year. I saw that story about your antique hunting and that sort of thing. And that's what you want people to know about you.
Yeah,
right?
You want people to know something more about you and what you care about. You know, you know, yes, I care about motorsports. I care about cars. I care about racing. You know, I care about you know, our foundation probably more than anything right now.
Right.
You know, and I think those are the points that I want people to know about.
Right.
You know, more than what we do on the racetrack. You know, it's hard to form an opinion about somebody about just the performance on the racetrack.
Mm-hmm. Was there a moment when you realized it didn't matter what other people thought of you as long as it wasn't somebody you cared about? Is there something?
And you say that kind of wrong to me. I mean, you say something you don't care about.
Right.
You care about.
You care, right.
You know
what
I mean?
Right.
But, you know, I think that you can let that stuff tear you down if you're not a strong individual inside.
Yeah.
You can let other people tear you down pretty easy.
Right.
But you have to be true to yourself. You can't change who you are because someone says something about you. Someone's always going to say something bad. You know, I'm sure, I mean, as a reporter, yeah. I'm sure someone says something about you multiple times.
I always joke the default setting is everybody hates me. And then if I find out they like me, okay, great.
But I like to think most people like me, but yeah. Some people don't. And, yeah. That's okay because I know who I am.
You know what
I mean? You know who you are. You know the type of person you are. And you know what your faults are.
Yeah.
You know, that's to me, being successful in life, you need to know what you're good at. But even more importantly, you need to know what you're bad at.
Right.
And you know, but knowing what your faults are, you can improve on those and grow as a person. And I think knowing that inside is one thing, and letting, you know, hundreds of thousands of people tell you something else is, you just got to be strong inside and be a strong individual and know what's most important in your life and prioritize that.
You got to know how to let, like you said, you're not going to not care about it, but you have to learn how to let certain things go. Based on the source.
Exactly.
Yeah. So was there a moment or that like it changed?
I don't think there's like a big moment. I think it just kind of, as I've grown up, I think you just realize that, you know, just how life is. You know what I mean? People, I mean, and I'm guilty of it as well. You know, I'm just as bad as anybody else that I'll form an opinion about someone. And really, there's only one person that can judge me. And it's no one that's in this racetrack, or no one that really is. There's only one guy that can do this. And, you know, so really I think that's the most important thing to remember for me.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, I'm as guilty as anyone at forming an opinion on someone without really knowing them.
Right.
You know?
Right. Be remiss as a journalist. I know you addressed it yesterday, but I'll just ask again if I didn't ask about what happened toward the end of last season. And obviously that puts you in the maelstrom of all this controversy. My opinion, not a lot of it you're doing, or not any of it you're doing, but like, where does that stand now? Are things good with the people who took shots at you? Do you feel like it's kind of like dissipated among the fans? Where do you think things are?
I'm just kind of just at a point that I just told you, I'm just past it. You know what I mean? You can't let something consume you. And that doesn't take, you know, over me as a person. And I don't really, you know, I keep my eyes focused on what our goal is, right? And Roger Penske pays me to drive a race car. He pays me to go out there and win races. He pays me to go out there and win a championship.
Right.
Then that's the only thing that matters when I get in a race car. That's it. Because that's the goal. So I stick to that. You know, and, you know, as far as the other stuff, where we're at with it, I've moved on.
Yeah.
Because I got bigger things to deal with, I feel like, because I want to win a race.
Yeah.
I don't want to get in a fight. Yeah. I don't want to get in a wreck fest with people. It's not what I want to do. I just want to go out there and win trophies.
Right. In that regard, looking ahead to this weekend, I know you haven't been on the track very much so far as we speak here on Wednesday, but where do you think you are in terms of Sunday? You feel good about defending your win?
I think there's going to be a good chance for it. You know, I think our car the other night in the Unlimited was really good. Mm-hmm. You know, we may not have led a lot, but we came from the back a few times and finished second and was able to, you know, have a shot at winning the race at the end, you know, if all things went right. Maybe, you know, obviously if the 42 didn't get loose or they didn't crash behind us, maybe we could have had to push big enough to get by the 11, possibly. Mm-hmm. We were side by side with them at the white flag, so we were in the hunt. So I feel confident that we still know what we're doing. We didn't forget over the offseason, so that's good. That makes you feel better. I mean, in all honesty, when you haven't driven a car since Homestead,
yeah,
you know, you start to, okay, all right, what did I do?
I've wondered
do
that,
again,
like,
you know?
With no testing, like,
it.
If that, and drivers tell me, ah, oh, no, just get right in. But there's got to be some rust,
you do get right in and go, but deep down inside, you're kind of like,
yeah.
Can we make sure, we remember how to do this move or how to make this move on the racetrack or having that spotter and driver relationship and making sure that's all where it was. And, you know, you can talk about it as much as you want. You can watch as much films as much as you want, but it's nothing like being on the racetrack. And, you know, so really, like, the first practice on Thursday night, it kind of, you know, okay, you know, I remember everything now. It's like, okay, I know how to do this. I felt good about the race. We made some great moves in the race, confident moves. And, you know, the moves that you don't make them thinking, did I do the right thing? You just know they're right when you make them. And I think that's important to have that confidence inside when you're racing. You know, and we had a great run for that reason. So I feel like our Daytona 500 car is better.
Yep.
Of course, everybody else's is too.
Right.
So it's just all going to be relevant. But, yeah, I feel like we know what to do to make this happen. qualified 12th. We got decent speed in our car, and we'll work our way in there.
You said you talked about being antsy when you're in New York about coming down here and getting the car. You also said yesterday you feel like the last 2 years you could have won the championship both years. Does that contribute? I mean, you feel like you guys left anything on the table? I know there were circumstances beyond your control, obviously, last year and to some degree 14, but does it make it like, man, we can't let another one of these things get away?
I don't really think of it that way. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think we had a great season last year. We had a championship caliber season for sure, no doubt. Is there regrets? There's no regrets. We move forward. We're proud of what we, what we accomplished last year. Obviously, we went through some tough times. But I'm a silver linings person. That's how I stay confident. I look at the good things. I try to learn from the mistakes, and then I focus on what we did good to keep us motivated and keep going. And I feel like everything that happened last year after Martinsville, the way my team handled the situations, the way I handled them personally, the way just everyone kind of came together and you know, as a team, it's easy to be successful when everything's going good. You know what I mean? When you're winning races, it's easy to keep everyone together and keep everyone, fired up. But my team became more fired up, and I became more fired up to go out there and to win and be more determined. And I think that reaching that level is something that I've never reached before. I never gotten to that point before.
Right.
And I think that was something to know that's there. I didn't even know that was there. You know, yeah. So I think I learned something from that whole thing, is know how to get to this level as a race car driver or as a team leader that can make us stronger in the future, for 20 years to come.
Right.
You know, not just, so we say, hey, it's 1 year. Would we have a chance to win that championship? Yes. Was it guaranteed we're going to win it? No. Obviously not.
Yeah.
So, the bright side is, hey, we learned something on how to reach this new level on how to go out there and push harder than we ever have before. And we know how to do that. And we know how to push that down for 20 years in my career. And I think that's going to be important.
Okay. I'd love to sit here and talk longer, but I know Jeremy is going to – your lame duck PR guy is going to start yelling at me if I don't let you go here in the next couple of minutes.
He's a part-timer right now anyway, so
I should probably just take
it. It depends on if he's in right now or he's out. I don't know if he's listening.
Okay. All right. Well, as much as I'd like to take advantage of that, I think I'm going to let you go, but thank you so much for your candor.
Thank you,
really enjoyed this. This was very much appreciated.
Anytime.
All right, man. Appreciate thanks. It.